Shalom. Thank you for listening to this week's message from Emmaus Road Fellowship, where we encounter Yeshua in the scriptures. Check out our website at walkingemmausroad.org, where you'll find additional teachings and information on visiting us in Kingwood, Texas. If you've been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving to support Emmaus Road's mission of spreading the good news of the kingdom. May God grant you shalom in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. So this week, we're beginning the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim. And every week, or every year, the book of Deuteronomy is begun on the Sabbath that precedes the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av. This coming Tuesday is Tisha B'Av, which is a day of great tragedy for the Jewish people historically. And it all goes back to the time in which the spies brought back their bad report about the land. Now, if you recall a few weeks ago, as we were reading in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel departed Sinai and headed over toward the promised land. And when they arrived at Kadesh Barnea, they sent forth spies. And the spies went through the land for 40 days. And they came back on the 8th of Av, and they gave a bad report concerning the land. They slandered the land, and the people heard it. And that night, the people wept in their tents. Their hearts were, they were torn down by the words of the spies who gave the report, and they didn't believe that they would inherit the promise. And if we were to look at these items, we would say they seem to be valid reasons for why one might say they can't go in and take the land. You have giants in the land, well-fortified cities, many people on the mountains, so they've got the advantage, okay, for opposing an attacking force. There's several things that we could say are a cause for weeping. But on the other hand, you have the testimony of Caleb and Joshua in Numbers 14. Verse 7, they spoke to the entire assembly of the children of Israel, saying, "The land that we passed through to spy it out, the land is very, very good. If Hashem desires us, he will bring us to this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. But do not rebel against Hashem. You should not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed them. Hashem is with us. Do not fear them." Okay, so that's the other side, is that there's faith opposed to the fear. The fear was born out of looking at the circumstances and letting the imagination run and churn with what do these circumstances say the outcome will be. Okay, because fear is a product of the mind and the imagination. Okay, faith is not a product of the mind. It's a product that is innate within our soul, within our spirit. And it's one that can look beyond the reasons. Its faith is supersedes the reason. It's not without reason, but it supersedes it. And it comes into this innate knowing who God is, what His promises are, and that His word is true. And that can overcome any of the reasons that our mind can come up with that cause us to turn away from what God says. So there's a battle between fear and faith. That which is of our own creation versus that which is the trust in the Almighty God. And it's through fear that the seeds of exile are sown. Okay, so think about that. Fear sows the seeds of exile. And that's what took place here with the spies. The children listened to the negative testimony over the good testimony. They allowed their fear to run wild. And with that fear, they then had to wander through the wilderness for an additional 38 years, bringing the total to 40. 1 year for each day that the spies were in the land. And then that pattern continues on even in our lives and throughout history, where the fear of man causes man not to walk in God's ways, but instead to walk in what they see as being reasonable. And there can be various reasons on why we do that. But in the Talmud, it mentions, this is in the Jerusalem Talmud, it said that at the time when Solomon took a daughter of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, as his wife, the archangel Michael took his staff, stabbed it into the Mediterranean Sea, and mountains were formed up around it. And that was the beginning of the city of Rome. And then it says, goes on to say, when Jeroboam set up alternate temples in Dan and Bethel, because he feared that the people would go back to Jerusalem to worship God, that it was at that time Remus and Romulus came and set up cities there in Rome. So now, what was the Talmud trying to say? They weren't trying to say that's actually when Rome, Italy was formed, okay? They were trying to say that these actions that were based on fear, okay, and what was Solomon taking a bride from Egypt? God had said, do not return back to Egypt. Do not trust in them for strength and protection. Taking a bride from Egypt would be making an alliance with them to strengthen Solomon's country. So again, it's based out of fear. And so they were trying to make the point that fear was establishing the foundation for what would lead to the coming exile, Rome representing the exile because of Rome's part in the destruction of the temple and the exile that exists today. So fear was sowing the seeds of the coming exile. Coming exile that has not yet been resolved, but it will be, right? And this is one of the things that we have to be aware of is we look at the world, we look at history, and we say that there are times that things haven't gone well. But that doesn't mean that it will always be that way. Okay, if we were to look in Zechariah 8:19, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the month of the fourth month and the fast of the fifth month and the fast of the seventh and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love truth and peace. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about we're talking about fast days that have been established for the nation of Israel that mourn tragic events in the past. And God says, yes, those are days of mourning currently. But the day is coming when those days of mourning will be turned into times of joy. Because God's not going to leave the children of Israel in that state of mourning, in that state of exile. He's going to bring them to redemption. He's going to bring them to restoration. And in fact, if we were to look further there at Zechariah 8, you know, the verse I just read concluded with, therefore love truth and peace. And that made me think, well, therefore love truth and peace, that didn't really fit with the rest of the verse, so therefore it must have fit with something that came before. And so I just looked back a few verses to look at Zechariah 8, starting in verse 14. And it says, the scripture says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And then this is when he went forward and said, these times of mourning are going to be turned to times of joy. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Okay, therefore, love, truth, and peace. Truth and peace are what sow the seeds for the redemption. Truth and peace that are carried out in faith is what sows the seeds for the redemption. So the question comes to us of which one are we going to choose? Are we going to choose fear or are we going to choose faith? You know, sometimes we think on how, well, my faith wanes from time to time. My flesh is weak, right? and fear does come in and take hold. But the fear that I'm talking about is not like the fight or flight type of fear. It's not like I'm about to be crushed by something falling and I fear and I jump out of the way. Instead, it's the one that's more born out of reason, as we were talking about before, of like, look at these fortified cities, look at the giants. Okay, because in that, we're making choices of what do we look to? Do we look to the circumstances or do we look to our God and His Word? And so it comes to, what is it that we're actually exercising? Are we exercising our fear or are we exercising our faith? Because the one we exercise is the one that's going to grow. Okay? And so then from that, we can then move. If we're exercising our faith and our trust and our certainty in God, then we can move in truth and peace and see Him bring restoration, whether it's at the global scale, whether it's at the individual scale, family scale, always trusting in Him. And all of this is about renewing our minds to what God has said will be. The Saturday before the 9th of Av, it's not just the day in which we read the book of Deuteronomy, or start into the book of Deuteronomy. It's also the week in which we read the Haftarah from Isaiah 1, which opens up speaking of the vision given to Isaiah and the prophecy that was given to him. And so this is known as the Sabbath of prophecy. Okay? And it comes from that portion in Isaiah 1. Now the Hasidic masters spoke of this day, and they say they were granted a vision of the third temple. They said, we may not see it with our physical eyes, but our souls see it and are empowered to break free from our present state of exile and to bring about the redemption and the rebuilding of the temple. So they were speaking about the need to have this vision of what's to come. Because keeping our eyes fixed on the promises of God are what's going to set us free from the thing that binds us today and keeps us in exile, that keeps us trapped, that keeps us from walking in God's promises. And this is that aspect of faith that I was speaking on. Now, I mentioned too that, you know, you can have reasons to fear. You can have reasons to have faith. And faith was not without reason, but it's just not the entirety of what creates our faith, of what our faith is built upon. Because not everything that has some aspect of reason is actually reasonable. And not everything that is reasonable is necessarily true. Does that make sense? So you can always have arguments that would go against what God has said. But what He has said is true, and the argument against what He has said is not true, even though it may sound reasonable. And we are very good at justifying our reasons for things. Often we think our thoughts are very reasonable, whether others agree with that or not, okay? But what is true goes beyond our ability to reason. So faith is not blind. It does have reason that it is built upon, but it goes beyond. Now, that's, and really, our faith is strengthened when we take into account understanding and knowledge and the wisdom that God provides. And this is really how Moses begins to appeal to the people as they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan and go in to take possession of the land. At the beginning of Deuteronomy, it says, I'll go ahead and go there and sit right in Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1, verse 1. The scripture says, these are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel on the other side of the Jordan. And then it goes through concerning the wilderness, concerning the Arabah, opposite the Sea of Reeds, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahav, 11 days from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. It was in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, when Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Okay, so this is at the end of 40 years. Moses has 5 weeks left in his life. He's been told he's not crossing over the Jordan. But he wants to strengthen the children of Israel so that they will be able to go in and take possession and not fall into the same snare that their fathers had fallen into almost 40 years prior. And so he speaks to all Israel. He calls them all together because all Israel needs to hear this message from him, the one who God spoke through and the one who is now retelling them the Torah, strengthening them and encouraging them along the way. So in Deuteronomy 1, verse 30, the scripture says, "The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place." Right? So here he's giving reasons for which their faith should be strengthened, to build up their faith, to make it stronger than it already was, because they've walked on this path. They've gone through the journey through the desert. They've seen God protect them, give them manna, give them water from the rock. But even with all this, how can we continue to strengthen our faith? It's not just enough to say, yeah, you should know. It's like, no, let's actively strengthen our faith. Let's actively remember the faithfulness of God, because that will help us to go forward when we face the challenges, when we face the giants. Now, Rabbi Foreman from Aleph Beta, he has an episode that he shares on what is emunah, what is this faith? And he speaks on how it goes well beyond just believing something. And he mentions three times in the book of Exodus that faith is mentioned. And each time it's mentioned, there's a different aspect that forms a foundation of what our faith is, or what makes our faith strong, what builds it up. In Exodus 4:31, Moses had come to them and he had given them signs that God had given to show the people that he was remembering them and that he was going to bring them out of Egypt. And the people believed when they saw the signs. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, that he'd remembered them, and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Okay? What they recognized here, what strengthened their trust and certainty in God, was that he knew their afflictions. He was able to relate with them. They were able to say, he knows, he understands the hardship that I've walked through. He's caring. And then in Exodus 14:31, this is right after the splitting of the sea, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Okay, so here again, they saw God's power on display, irrefutably. They had seen the plagues that had been brought on Egypt, and now they saw the entire army of Egypt destroyed in the waters that had been their salvation. Right? So they were able to see God's power. So they saw his compassion and they saw his power. Because they had already believed that God existed, okay? But now this was building something greater in their faith. And then in Exodus 19, verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." In this, Rabbi Foreman was explaining that this was giving greater understanding to the children of Israel of the truth of God's word, the truth of God's word relayed through Moses, the Torah that God had spoken through him and given through him. And this was so that the people would have greater trust, greater confidence that the words that Moses spoke were not Moses' own words, but were God's words. And interestingly, the sages comment about how the book of Deuteronomy is where Moses is speaking to the people, as opposed to saying God spoke to Moses and said, tell the people this. Instead, in this case, it was Moses re-explaining and clarifying his words. Okay, so in some ways they say a distinction was made where God's word was directly given through Moses to the people. On one hand, so he was speaking only what he heard the Father say. And then on the other hand, here in Deuteronomy, he was giving greater explanation, reiterating what God had spoken to help the people understand it so they could walk in it. And because of that, they say, that's why he's called Rabbeinu, our teacher, our great one. And of course, when I hear that, I think about Yeshua, right, and his ministry. He was one who said, I speak only what I hear the Father saying, such that the Lord spoke and Yeshua gave the word to the people. And then he's also the one who expounded upon the Torah, who gave clear explanation to what the Torah is, such that he himself is our Rabbeinu, he himself our Messiah, the one even greater than Moses, who speaks the word of God and gives the clarity of how to live and walk. And so and even in his life, right? Okay, if we were to talk about the empathy, the compassion that we just read about in Exodus, the power of God and the understanding, we have all those elements demonstrated in the life of Yeshua as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He sent his son down. His son emptied himself and said, I have this great compassion and love for the people that I will bring them back. And it's the power of God and the resurrection of Yeshua demonstrated the freedom that we have. And then the understanding that we have through the life he lived and the words that he gave us. These are elements that strengthen our faith and give us confidence to go forward and to say, I can take hold of what God has said. I can believe in the coming redemption even though my eyes don't yet see it. Because really, I mean, if you look at the world, I don't see it ascending right now. I see it going in this spiral and a rapid decay. Like, I don't know where the bottom is, okay? But I know that just because it's on that trajectory doesn't mean that that's where the world is going to end up. Because I know God said a redemption is coming and that Yeshua is coming again. And all the nations of the earth will bow. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of the Father. Right? So we know that even though times may be increasing in darkness, there's also God at work to bring forth his light. And so, again, this comes down to what are we going to choose? Are we going to choose to walk in this truth and peace? Right? Can we walk in peace even when the world is in chaos? And yes, the answer is yes. We can walk in peace even though the world is in chaos because our peace transcends the reasons that this world can present. Because we have the peace of God in our spirit. Okay, so I was speaking on how Moses was encouraging the people, helping them to see how God had walked with them, how he had carried them, so that they wouldn't fall into the same trap. And in that same passage where we read in Deuteronomy 1, we read verses, I think. Actually, I'm not sure what we read. Now I'm getting a little bit off track here. But let's go with verses 29 through 33. Then I said to you, do not be broken. Actually, I'm going to read a different translation, but y'all can follow along on this one. Do not be broken and do not fear them. Hashem, your God, who goes before you, he shall make war for you. Like everything he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness as you have seen, that Hashem your God bore you as a man carries his son on the entire way that you traveled until you arrived at this place. Yet in this matter, you do not believe in Hashem your God, who goes before you on the way to seek out for you a place for you to encamp, with fire by night to show you the road that you should travel, and with a cloud by day." So he's actually, in this passage, he's hearkening back to the time when he was speaking to the spies and the people and saying, God's done all these things, but yet you're failing to see with eyes of faith. Instead, you're listening to the word of man. Do not do that. And so he's trying to encourage them that they could have faith. And now he's retelling this to the people as they're on the border so that they wouldn't fall in that same trap. And he continues on and says, guys, I'm not even going to have to go back and talk about the things that happened in Egypt. Yes, remember those. But there are some things that have happened just recently that you need to recall in this last year that God has done where miracles took place. And that's what we read in all of Deuteronomy chapter 2. First, he starts out speaking about God's faithfulness to Esau and to Moab and how he had given them victory over giants, how God had promised blessings upon Esau and Moab, and he had fulfilled his word to them, caused them to overcome giants. And he says, look, he's done it for them, but you have the promise of Abraham. And not only can you look at the examples of how he's overcome for these other nations and think on how much better your promises are and God's faithfulness to bring you through, but remember what has just happened with your victories over Sihon, king of Heshbon, and over Og. Both nations that if you looked at it with reason, you'd say, no, the children of Israel couldn't do this. They could not win this battle. But yet God gave them the victory in those lands so that they could continue on and take hold of their promise. And so Moses encourages them with this and says, keep going forward. You've already defeated giants. God will be with you when you face the giants in the promised land. And that's what we see in as we wrapped up Deuteronomy 3, or this week's portion, not all of Deuteronomy 3, but in this week's portion, Deuteronomy 3:21 says, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen everything that Hashem your God has done to these two kings. So will Hashem do to all the kingdoms where you cross over. You shall not fear them, for Hashem your God, he shall wage war for you. With this, all of these things adding on to the faithfulness that has been imparted to them over the years by their fathers, all this added to what they've seen, they're being made ready to go forward in full faith to take hold of the promise. And he wanted all of Israel to be there and all of Israel to hear this because every single one of them had a part to play in what was coming of this redemption. Yes, there would be those who would go out into the battle, and there would be those who aren't going out into the battle. But those who weren't going out in the battle still had a part to play. Because everyone matters in God's plan of redemption and how he's going to bring it about. You know, my family often watches a movie after Shabbat dinner. And often I'll get inspiration from those movies. And last night we were watching a movie called 13 Lives. Really good movie if you haven't seen it. It's about an event that took place in Thailand in 2018 where 12 young boys and their soccer coach became trapped in a cave during monsoon season. The water came up, blocked the exit so they couldn't get out. And the movie tells the story of them being trapped and the rescue efforts that went on in order to try to save these 13 lives. And when you look at the operation that took place that they put together. You had people, you had thousands of volunteers. You had people coming from other nations who had various skills and expertise to come and to tackle this. And you have, okay, it's a mountain, okay, that has the cave under it, and you have monsoon rains coming, just relentless rain. The water's coming up into the cave, and so they begin to put pumps in there, okay? So a lot of people coming in, bringing pumps to try to pump the water out. You have divers coming in, the Thai Navy SEALs. You have people coming, professional cave divers coming. You have a water engineer, I can't remember. Some kind of engineer comes, and he says, the real problem is that the water falling on the mountain is draining down into the caves. We need to stop the water from getting in there. And so he then finds somebody who knows the mountain really well, who can guide him to all the inlets. And then they get hundreds of people who are diverting the water. And then, okay, so I'm talking about some of these big things, right? But then you also see the people who are taking care of the families, the people who are cooking the meals for the people who are making the decisions. You have all the parts coming together in a huge operation that couldn't work if all the people weren't doing their part. It was all the parts of the body working together for a common goal. And was it reasonable to think that the 13 people were still alive in a flooded cave when weeks have gone by? No, reason says no, they're not. But that didn't deter the people, the volunteers, from saying, we're going to get them out. We're going to do our part. And the divers who were going in there, the professional fast divers, it was 6 hours in, 6 hours out. And the number of trips they took, day after day after day, that's called perseverance. That's called acting because you believe in something worth acting for, something worth fighting for, and you have faith that goes beyond the reason. It's beautiful. It didn't matter what their eyes saw. They said, we're going to go forward. We're going to do whatever it is that we can to accomplish the goal. It's a great movie. Not trying to spoil too much, but listen, go see it, okay? Or rent it, I guess, whatever it is you need to do. Blockbuster, don't they deliver discs these days? No, they don't do that anymore. Okay. Okay, so you can't get it from Blockbuster, but you can get it from other places, okay? Well worth it. 13 lives. But this is the thing. It's the faith that they walked in that sowed the seeds for life, that sowed the seeds for redemption. We're just talking about 13 people. Okay, God's talking about the whole world with the redemption that He wants to bring. And He says, I've called you, each and every one of you, and I've given each and every one of you gifts, talents, great, small, seemingly insignificant, seemingly great. Doesn't matter. We all work together as one body, strengthening one another and walking out this pursuit of truth and peace. And just as Moses was telling the children of Israel, you need to remember where you've been on this journey, so too we need to remember where we've been on our journeys. We need to look back and say, God, I remember your faithfulness. I can't tell you how many times in my journal God has sent me back to previous entries in order to show me how He's carried me along the way and how I haven't been alone in the journey. Even though there's many times I feel alone. I don't know about you, you ever feel alone, right? It can happen, okay? But God says, no, I'm with you even when you don't see it. But I need you to remember my faithfulness. I need you to remember that I hear your prayers, that I have compassion on you, that I am powerful to fulfill my word. And so we seek Him, and we recall these things so that our faith may be made strong. And we remember our past. We don't relive our past. And we don't look to the past. Well, we can gain strength from the past, but the past is not what is to keep us bound. Okay, often past hurts, trauma, can fashion our thoughts, can cause us to see with a different lens, that can keep us tied up. We have to recognize those. Take them to the Lord. Allow Him to move and heal those areas of our past so that we can go forward and walk in freedom. But we can't allow it to define our future. And the children of Israel, as they're sitting there on the banks of the Jordan, they could look back and say, well, our fathers failed. They acknowledged all the giants. But at the same time, they could choose and say, no, we're not going to allow that to us to define what our future will be. Instead, we can be strengthened in knowing that God still, after the failure, carried us through the wilderness, still said the promise stands, and still said He's going to bring us across and give us the land that was promised to Abraham's offspring. So even though fear had sown the seeds of exile, their faith would sow the seeds of the redemption and the fulfillment of the promise. You know, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Right? That's the idea of keeping our eyes fixed on Him, allowing Him to set our path and make it firm. Not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting with certainty and confidence His understanding and His guidance. And as I was thinking on this fear versus faith topic this morning, my mind went to Hebrews 11, the great hall of fame of faith. If you ever need encouragement and building up faith, go look at Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or another translation, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the scripture says, for by it the men of old gained approval. Or another translation of that would be, they obtained a testimony. What testimony did they obtain? They obtained the testimony that God's word is true, because they walked in faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And you can continue on through seeing Abraham in faith offered up Isaac and received him back. And the many others who endured great hardship so that they might obtain a testimony of God's faithfulness. And that all these testimonies stand as witness for us, but also were pivotal in God's plan of restoration. You know, I can't remember who said this, but he said, one man with courage makes a majority. One man with courage makes a majority. And when you think about that, it takes one person who, in the midst of everything that might make you fear, stands, and by standing, others are encouraged and take the stand with them. And as they band together, that one man with courage soon becomes a majority. You know, another quote is that courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Does that make sense? So it's like you can have a reason to fear, but courage is when you say, no, that's a mental construct that has been defined by the world, by my past experiences, by my imaginations. I will not be ruled by that fear. Instead, God is the one who directs my footsteps. So I will resist the fear, I will master the fear, and I will walk in full faith and confidence and courage that God is going to bring me through. That's where we find ourselves today, and that's the comfort that we have that's been shown to us in the Scriptures and by the Spirit, that we can walk and be agents of restoration in this day. Amen. Does anybody have anything that you wanted to share?
So it's interesting because before you started preaching, there was a verse that I was reading. This is from Matthew 24, verse 42 and 47. And I think it ties in so perfectly. It talks about, well, if it's okay, I'll just read
sure,
it.
Sure, please.
It says, therefore, be alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and the sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. And as you were preaching, I kept thinking about this verse and how, you know, in order for us to stand and wait, we have to have that faith that he is coming for us. But it is scary because we don't know, right? But in that, like you just said, courage is resistance to fear. So stand in courage, like he told, I think it was Joshua, you know, don't be afraid, for I am with you. And I've seen that in the past, like a couple weeks, like just don't be afraid. If I'm telling you I am with you, you have nothing to fear because I am greater than anything. So that's what I got from that.
Amen. Yes, thank you. You know, as you were speaking too, it reminded me of what Chelsea read in service or in worship. She said that she had a psalm she wanted to read, and then before service, her Bible closed and she lost her space, and then she went to Psalm 27. And I was like, I didn't recognize it when she told me she was going to read that, but then as she was reading it, I was like, wait, this Psalm 27 is a perfect fit with today's message, right? Because Psalm 27, like the title or the caption in my book says, the Psalm of Fearless Trust in God. Right, and Psalm 27 is what we read leading up from Elul 1 all the way up to Yom Kippur. But it's, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's no one that I can fear. The Lord is the defense of my life. Of whom shall I dread? And actually, I'm going to read a little bit more of it because it's so fantastic. The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though hosts encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. Right? And then it concludes with saying, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Actually, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. This is the thing. It's believing that we're going to see God's goodness, believing that even if a host encamps against me, I can be confident, for God is before me. He goes before and he's my rear guard. And we can be patient and wait for the Lord and trust in him. It's just beautiful. So I think that her Bible closed on purpose to bring her to Psalm 27 for the fearless trust in God. Amen. Anyone else?
This morning, before I came here, I was meditating upon the word, and I was reading the places where God said that, you know, my presence will go before you, I will be with you. And I thought, well, what does that look like? What does his presence look like, you know? And then as you spoke today, his presence looks like manna. His presence looks like water from a rock. His presence looks like the pillar of fire, you know, in the cloud. And I thought, well, what does his presence look like with me in my life? And it caused me to go back, you know, and look at things that have happened in my journey. Where has he shown himself? And where will he show himself? So it just gave me further confirmation as I listened to you talk.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Bless God. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your word is true and you are faithful. Lord, I thank you that you have shown yourself faithful through the ages and in our lives, in our midst. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us, and by your Spirit, Lord, you'd give us recollection of your faithfulness so that our faith may be strengthened, Lord, that we may walk in a fullness of trust and confidence in you. Lord, that we may be agents of redemption, that we might sow the seeds of redemption that you so long to bring forth. Father, I pray that you'd move mightily on our behalf. Draw us ever closer to you day by day. And may your glory be revealed in us and through us. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this message, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member and help us out by giving a review on iTunes or other podcast platform. Check out our website at walkingemmausroad.org for additional teachings and information about visiting Emmaus Road in Kingwood, Texas.